Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Guru out, Chasky in. His Guru's on vacation. He'll be out all week long. We'll try to fill his spot somehow, some way. Butcher Boy doing it today on a Monday afternoon. Steiny in the building as well as Bonte Hill. Let's bring in Royce Clayton, former Giants shortstop, also with the St. Louis Cardinals. Royce, it's so good to catch up with you. He's now coaching varsity baseball at Oaks Christian High School down in SoCal. Royce, man, it's been so long. How you doing these days, man? Hopefully you're staying safe.
Yeah, I'm blessed, brother. Everybody's good. Family's safe. Obviously some very difficult times, but we're getting through this stuff the best we can and trying to do our part. But like you said, everybody's safe.
No doubt. It's good to catch up with you, man. I know the 30 for 30 was on yesterday, Long Gone Summer, with Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. The year they broke the home run records, Roger Maris's records, and you was with the Cardinals in the first half of that 98 season. So I'll just start right off the bat. I know you played with Bonds. I know you played with McGwire. What was it like being around McGwire that first half of the season when he just started off on a tear?
You could feel something different. I got to know Mac pretty well when he came over at the end of 97. We hung out a lot in spring training and, just got to know him personally. Obviously, he's a good dude. And, I just knew that we were trying to win. That was the main thing. I felt more so than anything, I don't think you lose perspective, but we had an extremely talented team. Obviously the home run race was big, but, just looking on paper after what we came through my first couple of years in St. Louis, we felt we had a chance by adding him to the lineup. And obviously, the pace that he set initially in the first part of the season gave us a lot of optimism. And, obviously things took off from there. But we just felt we had a real good team adding him to the lineup.
Royce, at the end of the 90, after Mark McGwire was acquired, I guess he was in a slump when he came, or he got into a slump in a hurry. Do you remember anything specific about that time? Either remembering him struggling or remembering how he felt when they gave him a standing ovation, even though he was slumping?
Yeah, I know he felt dejected because more so than not, knowing as a when you're a player, you get traded to a situation, you go to a new team, you want to go out and have an impact. And, he wanted to try to, come over and help us out and just show his value, show his worth. And, Tony and everybody knew what he was capable of. And I felt that initially he was just letting people down. And, Oakland can be a tough situation. Other cities can be tough. But we just kept telling him, I said, people aren't going to get down on you here. And sure enough, in true St. Louis form, they, would start to stand ovation for him. And I think that really shaped his decision to coming back the following year and really gave him a tremendous amount of confidence and, feeling a place where I think more than anything at that point in his career, he just needed to find somewhere where he felt comfortable.
I'm curious because, you were a great Giant for the early 90s. I was a big fan of yours, and you play with Bonds, and it's way before the steroid allegations, and you obviously played with Mark McGwire while he was at his zenith. How did they approach an at-bat differently, though?
You know what? To be honest with you, there's no comparison. I know people may have some type of feeling about it. But to be honest with you, Barry was the most dominant player I've ever played with. They pitched to Mark during his home run. And, you know, right. Barry was just, they were scared of Barry. Nobody was scared of McGuire, that's for sure. They pitched to him. You know, the confidence level that he portrayed to the pitcher. Of course, you know, when he started getting hot, there was a certain type of feel. But in between those periods, you know, that nobody was walking him intensively, not a lot. But just the two sides, there's really no comparison. Barry was just better than everybody.
Royce Clayton here on 95.7 The Game, former Giant, part of that great 93 team. I'm still heartbroken over that, Royce. I know you are, too, when you guys won 103 games. I didn't want to bring that up, but
Solomon,
you played
Torres
with Bonds. That was the first year, Barry. Yeah, we don't need to say you brought that up, not me. I didn't bring up Solomon Torres. Royce, that's all Shasky here. Talk about that 93 year, because you just said Barry Bonds was the most dominant. He comes over to the Giants from Pittsburgh, and really I think a lot of Giants fans are surprised, like, wow, they signed Barry Bonds. He's the best player, one of the best players in the game. What was that season like with Barry, and why do you think, like you just mentioned, you know, he got walked, he took intentional walks, but what made him just so much different than everybody else on the diamond?
You know, it was his presence, what he, you know, the swag that he brought to the team, because we had a pretty conservative team that, you know, had some great players, Matt Williams, obviously, Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, Willie McGee. We had a great group of guys. But to me, the biggest difference is something that, you know, your team takes on a personality of your leadership, and immediately he just took over the team. And for a young player, especially myself and Darren Lewis, it's like, you know, we had this big brother figure that was just, you know, dominating the game, showed us how to exude your presence and have that type of swagger, because swagger's everything. You know, and he gave that to everybody, and we just started dominating. So, you know, I know, like you said, we were talking about McGuire. It just wasn't that type of personality. It was just like, if he hit a home run for himself, that was great. But just Barry stepping on the field every day changed everybody around him and made us that team that you saw in 93. Like I said, the example is, you know, from day one, he just took over the game, you know, walk-offs and everything. So it's just like we just got on his back and rode the wave. But obviously we had tremendous amount of talent with other players. You know, that was just a magical season, something I'll never forget. But just the pure presence of Barry changed everything for us.
Royce, obviously you're coaching high school baseball right now at Oaks Christian. I'm just curious, where do you think the enthusiasm level is for kids growing up in high school? And I'm not sure, I don't know the makeup of your team, but one of the things we hear a lot is that you know, black kids need to get reintegrated into the game. Inner city kids. How would you answer that question? And how do we do that?
Well, first and foremost, I always said baseball mirrors society, especially here in America. And you know, we have one of the biggest eye-opening situations that people are starting to finally realize that we have a systemic problem, racism, here in America. I've always believed and always did say that we have a systemic problem in baseball. And until baseball understands that and recognizes situations, I think you're going to continue to see, unfortunately, baseball fall short to the NBA, fall short to the NFL, because there's just no appeal. There's nothing that's really targeting or marketing towards the African-American kid. I'm here on the ground, so I know there's a number of there's not a lack of players, which people used to always make an excuse for, but there's just nobody scouting these kids and nobody giving these kids opportunities. So I really understand the problem. The solution is going to be to say, okay, if these Division I schools don't want these African-American kids, let them go on to play for historically black colleges, but make sure those scouts go down and get those kids out of those historically black colleges. Because the system's now changing to where if they're going to consider the college level is going to be the minor league system, because they cut 1,000 jobs. They're cutting everything when it comes to development of players. So they're basically saying, we're not going to take high school kids in later rounds to give those kids those opportunities. So we have to figure out, take it on our onus as African-American baseball people that love the system and understand how this thing works to give our kids the opportunities. And it's going to probably going to have to be through these historically black colleges because, you know, there's I can't even think of the Division I schools. I put one kid in USC that was African-American, started center field for him last year. But besides that, that's the only kid black of color I put into the college system.
Wow. Wow. You know, Royce, I wanted to ask you about just steroids in the game. You play with Bonds, McGuire, Yvonne Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, Frank Thomas, so many different guys that are like some of the greats of that era. And when people try to dilute everyone's accomplishments because of steroids, how does a former big leaguer like yourself, how do you compartmentalize that?
Well, I appreciate the platform first and foremost to even have a discussion. I discuss with my kids about doing it the right way. Unfortunately, baseball took the opportunity and, you know, didn't think about how it's going to affect the future generations because obviously it still exists in our game today. But it really impacts the young kids. And like I said, the things that happened during the summer of 98 were great for bringing fans back into the stands, but it diminished the game of baseball. It made it to the point where, I mean, literally became softball. Just people coming to the ballpark waiting for the next home run. And I get it. That makes it exciting. But how are you going to perpetuate that when, you know, the reality of it is there's only so many kids on the planet that can have that type of stature or strength to hit the ball that far. The vast majority of natural kids have good ability, but they're great baseball players, but they're not going to hit 65 home runs. It's just not going to happen. So not to get off topic, but I really hated the fact that we were bunched into an era of that's just everybody was doing it because that's definitely not the case. If everybody was doing it, it would have been socially acceptable in our clubhouses, and I you know, lived and breathed in those clubhouses, and I didn't know who was doing it. So they were a subculture of people that were hiding in the background that didn't come out in the forefront doing this stuff for sure.
Well, so then, Royce, I'm curious, what do you think should happen? Should these guys stay out of the Hall of Fame? Should they be included? Should there be some sort of a marking on their bust or their statue? Like, how do we figure out how to delineate what's okay and what's not?
Well, I mean, the Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame, and it's like the media's last little situation where they can, you know, get in players that they like if they're on a bubble and keep players out that they don't like if they're on the bubble. So they can term it and deal with it any way they want. But until we get to a point where, you know, there's some clarity as to who did it, who didn't, then I just believe that players that did engage at any point shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. That's just that's my point of view. But it's just a disservice to, you know, the great players before us, like the Hank Aarons and, you know, all the great players before that. And I'll say one more thing, just on the topic of, you know, all the things that are glorified. We got so many achievements of good players that are still fortunately walking this planet with us. And again, with the systemic problem with baseball and racism, we should be glorifying, giving Hank Aaron his roses while he's still on this planet. We should be having documentaries. We should be having ceremonies about this great man that blessed our game and his, you know, the whole beat Babe Ruth record, you know, accomplishes beyond that. And because of the, you know, it's just sad that young African Americans don't understand that this man's still living and breathing on this planet. And baseball doesn't recognize his greatness and what that could be to the game and uplifting him.
Wow, that's powerful, Royce, and I agree with that. And I guess that goes to the marketing and promoting its own sport. It seems like baseball has just – I mean, when you were coming up in the 90s, I knew who Griffey was. I knew who you were. I knew Canseco, McGuire, Bonds. They were in our face. Today's game, like – nobody knows really Mike Trout outside of baseball and just a diehard baseball fan. Bryce Harper's up there. But I guess that's the problem, Royce. They don't do a good enough job of marketing the game with their present players, with their current players, and the past players like Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, when Frank Robinson was with us. A lot of people didn't know about Frank Robinson. I guess to your point, Royce, that's the next step for baseball if it wants to become relevant amongst the mainstream sports again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you want to broadly accept the talented athletes that are in America, part of the thing that we've turned to with cybermetrics, or what do you call it, the
sabermetrics.
Sabermetrics, I'm sorry. And what it did is just take the two scouts out the game that went and identified two athletes, good talent. And basically, just looked at some things that you spit in there, look at a stature, big kid, and, you could throw the ball hard, hit the ball far, and expected that that's what the fan wanted to see, and that's not what we want to see. We want to see the best athletes in the world go out and compete, become 5-tool players to the best of their ability, and really bring the beauty of the game back, because, that's gone. To be honest with you, it's just, like I said, there's a couple guys on each team that are good players. You mentioned Mike Trout. Obviously, he's one of those players that can do a lot of different things, but for the most part, we're looking at a guy that throws the ball as hard as he can, and a guy swinging as hard as he can, and hopefully somebody connects, and maybe a home run happens. If not, then we'll just switch sides and see what happens the next inning.
Royce, before you get out of here, you play in Candlestick where it's like 45 degrees on a Tuesday night and it's like a helicopter pad with all the wind, and then you go out to St. Louis and it's 120 degrees on that AstroTurf. What's the worst baseball stadium Royce Clayton played in the bigs? Because I'm watching that doc last night, and in 98, there were some old stadiums. I mean, some old venues. Bush Stadium was old.
Yeah, it was such a blessing to play in the big leagues. Everything seemed amazing to me. Montreal, to me, was, as far as the surface itself, it had steel plates under the, like, a paper-thin turf. So that was probably the roughest situation. I mean, I can hear my spikes clinking when I was running down the line in certain spots. But to be honest with you, just as a last little part, not to, get on a pulpit, but the thing is, what happened with my situation, what curtailed me from doing steroids or even thinking about it was, God gave me the ability, and I asked him to give me the ability to reach my dreams, and I was able to do that. And there was no other league that was higher. So I'm like, well, why would you start doing this stuff if there's not a higher league? This is the big league, and I appreciate it every single day that I played in the league. I reverend the responsibility for those that came before me that gave me the opportunity to play. And there was no way I was going to abuse my body to make the owners more money, to cost, to really work hard and really cost my time with my children and future for ego. So this is my message to anybody out there, because I hear the things like, oh, but I would do it if the money was there. Money can't replace your life or integrity. And that's a problem with this society, because everything's geared towards I need more and more and more, instead of looking at the real equation as people. And it's like, what more can I give?
Right. Royce Clayton here on 95.7 The Game. Former Giants shortstop, also was with McGuire in the first half of the 98 season. Of course, in 97 when McGuire got traded from the Oakland A's to the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey, Royce, it's always good catching up with you. Best of luck whenever you guys get back on the diamond down there at Oaks Christian High School in Southern California. Royce, take care and stay safe, my friend.
Yeah, thank you guys for the opportunity. Continue what you're doing and stay safe as well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.